second scripture reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. I invite you again to hear the word of the Lord. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, who said, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So when I was in seminary in Atlanta, we had to do an internship during the summer after our first year. We had to go out and work in a church somewhere for the summer. I got connected with this church out in Limerick, just down the road a little ways here. At the time, I was 23, I was single, I wasn't attached at all. I could kind of go anywhere and do anything. And I thought, you know, I've spent my whole life in the South living there. I've never been to Pennsylvania before. Why not give that a shot? So I went up there, up here, for the summer. Around that same time, Jen was living in Limerick and had a really good job at Lockheed Martin, King of Prussia. She was young, she was successful, she was making good money, and she had just bought her dream car. The car that she had wanted to get since she was a teenager, because she said, you know, I'm not going to be getting married anytime soon, so I can afford to splurge a little bit on this. 2 months later, I show up to work with the youth of the church that she was going to. We went on one date, fell in love, and knew that night that we were going to be getting married. As happy and as excited as we both were, she's thinking, "I just bought this car because I didn't think that I was going to have to be paying for a wedding anytime soon." And I'm thinking, "I have to go back to Atlanta at the end of the summer and finish school." We had all these plans that we were basing our lives on, and falling in love that summer was not in either one of our plans. Taking a whole year off from school to go work at that church so that I could be with her and get married in that time was not in my plans. Leaving Pennsylvania, where she had a good job and had lived her whole life, to move to Atlanta so I could finish school was not in her plans. But we had to sacrifice our plans for this new life, trusting that God was going to make it all work. Love comes in unexpected ways at unexpected times, and love is an act of trust. Now, of course, we're not just talking about romantic love when we're talking about love here. We're talking about all the ways that we give ourselves and receive love from others. The ways that we make others feel or are made to feel value and worth and acceptance. That we matter to them and they matter to us. That kind of love is built on trust, on faith. In the time of Isaiah, the kingdom of Israel had been split in two. The northern part was referred to as Israel. The southern part was called Judah. Isaiah was in Judah, in the south, when Ahaz became king. Ahaz was not a good king. He was young and inexperienced and made some really bad decisions. And he saw Israel and Syria up to the north, and he got very nervous, because he knew that they could come down to Judah and just wipe him out. So he is trying to figure out some way to save his kingdom. In the midst of all his anxiety, Isaiah comes to him and says, "Don't be afraid. Trust God. If you do not stand firm in faith, you shall not stand at all." Isaiah is saying to him, don't try to take matters into your own hands. Don't go off and make a deal with some other nation to come in and help you. Even though it looks impossible right now, trust God to provide a way. And then Isaiah says, look, ask for a sign from God. Go ahead, God will prove this to you. Just whatever sign you want, just ask and God will give it to you. Ahaz says, I will not ask for a sign. I will not put the Lord to the test. Now that sounds like a really faithful, trusting answer, right? Like Ahaz is refusing to ask for a sign because he's just taking Isaiah at his word and he is going to trust God. Don't need a sign, I trust God. That's what it sounds like. And so you would think that Isaiah would respond to that by saying, good for you. Way to trust God. But Isaiah says, why do you weary God? Ahaz says, I'm not going to ask for a sign. Isaiah says, why are you wearying God? You see, the thinking is that Ahaz knew that if he asked for a sign and God gave him a sign, he would pretty much be obliged to act accordingly at that point. He would have to do what God says because it's just been proven to him. And he doesn't want to do that. Ahaz doesn't want to do what God wants him to do. Ahaz wants to do what Ahaz wants to do. He thinks that he knows best, that he can handle all of this himself. And so Isaiah says, well, you know what? God's going to give you a sign anyway. A young woman, a virgin, shall bear a son and name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And before he is old enough to know good from evil, Israel and Syria up there, they'll be deserted. They won't be a threat to you. But because you did not trust, God will send a different threat to you, the king of Assyria. You see, Ahaz believed, but he didn't do. 700 years later, Mary is engaged to Joseph and discovers that she is pregnant. Matthew says that Joseph is a righteous man, doesn't want to have Mary killed like he could do according to Jewish law, and he doesn't want to make a big public deal out of it that would disgrace her, bring shame upon her, so he just plans to kind of quietly call off the marriage and send her back home. But just when he resolves to do this, an angel of the Lord appears to him and says, Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. This is a fulfillment of what Isaiah said 700 years ago. The virgin shall bear a son and name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The angel is saying to Joseph, like Isaiah said to Ahaz, don't be afraid. Trust God. Don't try to take matters into your own hands and do what you want to do. Even though this looks impossible right now, trust God to provide a way. Even though Joseph didn't ask for a sign, God gives him a sign in this dream, and Joseph acts accordingly. He takes Mary as his wife. He shows her love that she was probably not expecting to receive. But love comes in unexpected ways at unexpected times, and love is an act of trust. Trust in God, that I can give myself, extend myself, risk myself in love to this person. And God is going to provide a way to make it work. And it's trust in this other person, too, that if I give myself in love to you, you will receive me and share that love with me. In the movie Contact, Jodie Foster plays a scientist who discovers intelligent life in another solar system. So the whole movie is about making contact with this alien civilization. And throughout the movie, Jodie Foster's scientist character has this ongoing conversation and relationship with another character played by Matthew McConaughey, who is a theologian. So there's this whole interplay throughout the movie between science and faith, proof and trust. And there's this one scene where the two characters, the scientist and the theologian, they're talking about the existence of God. And she says, well, yeah, but how do you know? I need proof. And he says, proof. Did you love your father? Her father died when she was just a child. And she says, yes, very much. To which he says, prove it. So there's a sense in which love is an act of faith. She can't prove that she loves her father because he's not there with her anymore. What's she going to do to prove it? She can tell you that she loves him, but you just have to take her word for it. You have to trust. But there is another sense in which we can prove our love for others. We prove it all the time in the things that we do, the ways that we treat them and speak to them, and the ways that we show them that their lives matter just as much to us as ours. I talked about this with the kids last week during the children's time. I asked them, how do you know that your parents love you? And they said, well, because they tell me, because they hug me, because they take care of me. We receive all these signs that we are loved. And we give others signs of our love for them. We have received a sign of God's love for us in the coming of Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God is with us. And now because we have received that sign, we have to act accordingly. We do that by giving signs of our love for God. We do that through our faithfulness and devotion to God, through how we live and how we treat others. Jesus talks about this all the time. He says that other people will know our love by the fruit that our lives produce. You want to show your love for God? You want to show your love for your neighbor? Feed the hungry. Care for the poor. Bring healing to the sick. Bring justice to the oppressed. Give voice to those who have been silenced. Forgive those who have hurt you. Seek forgiveness from those you have hurt. Love is action. It's the things that we do. It's the ways that I show you that your life is just as important as mine. Ahaz believed, but he didn't do. Joseph believed, he trusted, and out of that trust, he did. Because love believes and does. The other week, I went to see Jean Ketchell in hospice. And the last time I'd been there with her, she wasn't responsive. She just kind of slept the whole time and didn't know that I was there. So I really didn't know what to expect this time. And she was sleeping when I came in. Looked just the same as she had before. But when I went up to her bed and said, "Hi, Jean, it's Patrick," her eyes opened up a little bit. And then a little more. And a little more. And a little more. And this smile started spreading across her face. And it just got bigger and bigger. So she's staring at me with these wide eyes and this big smile on her face. She looked so happy to see me. And that made me feel so loved. Like I mattered that much to her. It was a sign of her love for me. And it was a sign that I was not expecting to receive. It really impacted me and stuck with me and made me think, how can I show someone else that they matter that much to me? Can you imagine how Mary felt when Joseph came to her and said, "It's going to be okay. God is going to provide a way." Showing her love that she was not expecting to receive. Love comes in unexpected ways at unexpected times, and it is an act of trust. Be the person who gives love that is not expected, trusting that God will provide a way to make it all work. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the love that you have shown us in Jesus Christ. Help us to take that same love and live it for others. others. Share it in the ways that you have shared it to us. Help us to extend forgiveness, to seek forgiveness where that is needed. Help us to work for healing, hope for those who are in despair. Those who are suffering, may we bring the light of your presence to them. In all that we do and all that we are, may we share the love that you have so freely and abundantly shared with us in Jesus Christ. Amen.